You know, unless we've spent the last 10 years hiding out in a cave, we all are developing a reputation. We might have a reputation as being a person who is dependable or someone who can be trusted. Having character traits such as these would certainly help build up a good reputation for ourselves with other people. But if people know us as being undependable or untrustworthy, then we're building up a bad reputation for ourselves. As Christians, we should all strive to have a good reputation with other Christians and with non-believers as well. Believers with bad reputations can cause other believers to stumble or drive non-believers further away from the Lord. So reputations are important. And Proverbs 22, verse 1 says that a good name is to be chosen rather than great riches. It's so true, and we should always take care to guard our reputation, all for the glory of God. All for Him, really. But we should do that, guard our reputations. So please turn your Bibles to Ruth chapter 2. Ruth chapter 2. And we're going to see how this young Moabitess built a good reputation. And she did that for herself, she did it for the Lord, and she wasn't setting out to do that, but God was working through her, and her reputation was good. Ruth left everything behind in Moab to start a new life with her widowed mother-in-law, Naomi. In short time, the word got around about Ruth's loyalty and her love toward Naomi. So whatever things that we might be known for in our lives, it's quite possible that wherever we go, that our reputation precedes us. So let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, that you dwell within us, God, and that our lives are hidden in Christ, and we're accepted in the beloved. And our righteousness, Lord, comes from you, and you're helping us to decrease that you might increase in our lives, God. So we want to give you honor, praise, and glory, and get out of the way so that the life of Christ would be evident in us for all the world to see. So teach us your ways this morning by your Spirit, Lord. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. So I've divided our study for this morning into three parts. First, we have Boaz notices Ruth in verses 1 through 7. And then we have Boaz favors Ruth, verses 8 through 16. And finally, we have Ruth blesses Naomi, verses 17 to 23. So let's take the first part first. Boaz notices Ruth, and we'll just start with the first three verses. So there was a relative of Naomi's husband, a man of great wealth, of the family of Elimelech. His name was Boaz. So Ruth the Moabitess said to Naomi, "Please let me go to the field and glean heads of grain after him, in whose sight I may find favor." And she said to her, "Go, my daughter." Then she left and went and gleaned in the field after the reapers. And she happened to come to the part of the field belonging to Boaz, who was of the family of Elimelech. So Naomi and Ruth had just returned from Moab to Bethlehem, and it was the beginning of barley harvest. In verse 1, we're introduced to a man named Boaz, who was somehow related to Naomi's husband, Elimelech. Maybe he was known as Uncle Boaz, but probably he was Elimelech's brother or maybe a cousin. We just know that he was a relative. Whatever the case may be, being a relative of Naomi's husband, somehow he acquired great wealth. Unlike Elimelech, Boaz remained in the promised land during the famine, and somehow God made him to prosper. In fact, upon Naomi's return to Bethlehem, many of the people who remained in the city remembered Naomi when she came back. It was during those difficult famine years, Bethlehem did not shrivel up, and the Lord faithfully provided for his people there. It was touch and go, but the Lord brought things back to fruition. But for Naomi, her family and her fled, and unfortunately, they never quite recovered in Moab. Perhaps Naomi wondered what blessings may have been lost because of their decision to run away to Moab. Without question, she suffered a great deal of pain with the death of her husband and her two sons. She must have wondered if anything good at all would ever come out of all those wasted years. But Ruth, the Moabitess, said to Naomi in verse 2, "Please let me go to the field and glean heads of grain after him, in whose sight I may find favor." What a breath of fresh air that Ruth must have been to her mother-in-law at this time. In their difficult journey back to Judah, Ruth had been a pillar of faithfulness and encouragement to Naomi. But now it was time to go to work there in Bethlehem, and Ruth wasn't about to sit around and mope. Naomi said, "Go, my daughter." "You go, girl." And she did. Then she left and went and gleaned in the field after the reapers in verse 3. And she happened to come to the part of the field belonging to Boaz, who was of the family of Elimelech. So, with apparent complete luck of the draw, Ruth just happened to stroll onto the fortunate path of Boaz. How lucky can you get? If there had been a lotto back then, Ruth would have been the sole holder of the winning ticket. Well, I'm kidding, really, because this was by no means some chance meeting. Not at all. But it was a divine appointment that was orchestrated by God. And Ruth didn't even really know the God of Israel. But God was doing that for her. Ruth was right where she needed to be at just the right time for just the right reason. She was in the field of Boaz, not a mere family relative, but a chief kinsman. In verses 4 through 7, Boaz enters the picture, and he notices Ruth, who is gleaning in the field. Now, according to Leviticus 19, verses 9 and 10, farmers in Israel were commanded not to reap the corners of their fields. And if the reapers happened to drop some of the produce on the ground, they were to leave it. It was in this way that the poor and needy could come in and glean the remains and keep from themselves. They had no other ways to support themselves or to eat. They would have starved. So God made provision. As Boaz comes within earshot of the reapers in verse 4, he says, "The Lord be with you." And the reapers replied, "The Lord bless you." The reapers loved their job, and they seemed to have loved their boss. What a great picture of a happy work environment and a wonderful example for employers and employees everywhere. Like a good marriage, a good boss and worker relationship thrives on love and respect. Why not? Everybody wants that. Boaz was a good man, and he took notice of his workers who labored diligently in his field. If Boaz walked past the reapers day after day without acknowledging them, their work would have been nothing but drudgery. You know, people need encouragement now and then, and a little attaboy brings out the best in most people. People like to be acknowledged. It's just God wants us to love one another and be kind to one another. So in verse 5, Boaz notices Ruth, and he asks his reaper foreman, "Whose young woman is this?" Now, being very personable, Boaz probably knew everyone who worked in his fields, and most of their gleaners as well. But this particular day was different, as Boaz took notice of someone whom he had never seen before. We don't know what he was thinking, but Ruth must have made quite a first impression with Boaz. She captured his attention for sure. In verse 6, the servant who was in charge of the reapers answered and said, "It is a young Moabite woman who came back with Naomi from the country of Moab." Now, with all the excitement in the city caused by Naomi's sudden return, Boaz had probably heard about Ruth. In no time at all, Ruth finds a way to get to be useful in her new digs in Bethlehem. She wasn't just sitting around. She wasn't looking for a handout, but for a way that she could use her hands to be productive. We don't know anything at all about Ruth, how she was raised, but she had some tremendous core values. She was selfless and loyal, faithful and hardworking, and she loved Naomi dearly as her own mother. It'd be hard not to be impressed with this young Moabitess who hit the streets of Bethlehem running. In verse 7, Boaz's servant continues with his report about Ruth. And she said, "Please let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves." So she came and has continued from morning until now, though she rested a little in the house. So she was hardworking. Now, even though Ruth had the authority of the law to glean, maybe she didn't know that, but she was very polite. She asked for permission first before she started gleaning. Naomi told her to go and do it, but she asked for permission first. Today, it's not all that often that you hear the words, "please" and "thank you," or "yes, sir," and "yes, ma'am." But Ruth was that kind of person, and we should always extend that sort of courtesy to other people. And when we're also hardworking, like Ruth, people will notice the difference in us as well. But our motive should never to be get noticed, but always to glorify Christ who lives in us. So Boaz notices Ruth. That's the first part. And we'll continue now to the second part. Boaz favors Ruth. And we'll begin with verses 8 through 10. Why do they say tickle in the throat? It's not making me laugh. But anyway, water's good. Then Boaz said to Ruth, "You will listen, my daughter, will you not? Do not go to glean in another field, nor go from here, but stay close by my young women. Let your eyes be on the field which they reap, and go after them. Have I not commanded the young men not to touch you? And when you are thirsty, go to the vessels and drink from what the young men have drawn." So she fell on her face, bowed down to the ground, and said to him, "Why have I found favor in your eyes that you should take notice of me since I am a foreigner?" She was humble. So after getting the scoop about Ruth from his reaper foreman, Boaz speaks directly to her in verse 8. He immediately disarms any intimidation that Ruth may have had, and he encourages her to listen and to trust in his words. He tells her, "Do not go to glean in another field, nor go from here, but stay close to my young women." He was taking her under his wing. With one sentence, Boaz assures Ruth that she may not only glean, but she will also be protected. Isn't that just like our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? He bids us to come freely to him, and then he promises to protect us day in and day out, always with us, never leaving us, never forsaking us. Ruth's heart must have been flipping with amazement that she would be treated so kindly by Boaz. Now, at this point, it doesn't appear that Ruth really knew anything about Naomi's family connection with Boaz. She really didn't know who she was standing there with, that he was just being kind to her. At any rate, whatever it was, she felt completely and totally unworthy of all this kindness. As Ruth stood there soaking all of this in, Boaz continues talking to her with more encouraging words. Wherever the young women working for Boaz would go to reap, Ruth was to follow them and glean, in verse 9. He pretty much was telling her, "My field is your field. You go into it without fear and partake, freely partake." Again, I'm reminded of our Lord's incredible goodness toward us and his amazing grace that none of us deserve. Boaz was a man of great authority, and he commanded the young men to stay away from Ruth. Don't go near her. And our good shepherd keeps us close to him, and nothing can touch us when his holiness surrounds us. Boaz told Ruth that whenever she became wearied from thirst, to stop and drink from the refreshing vessels. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ says that whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. Boaz is good, but no one is as good as Jesus. In verse 10, Ruth humbly bowed down with her face to the ground in awe, complete awe of Boaz's kindness. It was unexpected to her. She asked him, "Why have I found favor in your eyes that you should take notice of me since I'm a foreigner?" Now, Ruth, she was a Moabitess, yet Boaz showed her favor. But did you ever wonder why God shows us favor? I have, and it's a real head-scratcher sometimes when I know what's going on in my heart and my struggles from time to time. Who can fathom why Christ died for us while we were still sinners? David wrote in Psalm 8, verse 4, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you visit him? Very good question. And really, who could begin to explain with mere words the incredible love of Christ for us? And verse 11, Boaz answers Ruth, and he tells her why he had granted this pagan woman such gracious favor. Basically, he was deeply touched by Ruth's remarkable kindness and her faithfulness toward her widowed mother-in-law, Naomi. Now, being widowed herself, Ruth went above and beyond what anyone would have reasonably expected, considering all the circumstances that she herself had gone through. She lost a husband. Rather than going back to her own family in Moab, Ruth selflessly chose to cling closely to Naomi. She had left everything behind in the place of her birth to go on with Naomi to a foreign land. That'd be scary. Remember Abraham when God says, "Go into a foreign land, and I'll show you what you must do." And he did. It's got to be hard. And Ruth did the same thing. She did that selflessly, probably with Naomi in mind, because she wanted to help her. John 15:13 says, "Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends." In some small way, she was doing that for Naomi. Yes, Ruth's reputation had preceded her. Boaz continues in verse 12, and he says, "The Lord repay your work, and a full reward be given to you by the Lord of Israel, under whose wings you have come for refuge." What an incredible blessing poured out from the generous heart of Boaz into the sacrificial heart of Ruth. Even though Boaz was being so good to Ruth, he acknowledged that all blessings come from the Lord. He wasn't counting himself as all that because he was kind, but he gave glory to God. It's important to give glory to God in anything that we do that does any good. All goodness is ascribed to God. Ruth was growing in her faith of the God of Israel, who rewards those who seek him diligently. Suddenly, Ruth found refuge underneath God's wings. Now, always humble, Ruth said in verse 13, "Let me find favor in your sight, my Lord, for you have comforted me." She had a genuine attitude of gratitude, and it's something that we all need to learn in life. Now, see if you remember this. You take the good, you take the bad, you take them both, and there you have the facts of life. Okay, one person, thank you. It's an old TV show from last century. Sorry. I can't help but remember silly, useless things. But you do. You take the good, you take the bad, and it all comprises our life, and God is good all the time. And he's with us always. Ruth was very thankful that Boaz spoke to her so kindly, even though she wasn't one of his maidservants. She couldn't understand that kind of goodness. She wasn't used to it. Let's thank God for all things in Jesus' name, for all that he's done for us as well. In verse 14, after a long morning of gleaning in the field, Ruth gets invited to lunch. They didn't have McDonald's or In-N-Out or Chick-fil-A. But Boaz says, "Come here, eat of the bread and dip your piece of bread in the vinegar." Sounds yummy, doesn't it? Kind of like Olive Garden where they give you all the breadsticks you can eat. I like it. So there was Ruth sitting with all the reapers and receiving parched grain given to her by Boaz. She gladly ate the tasty meal, and it left her feeling satisfied. She was blessed. She even got a doggy bag. Indeed, she was rewarded for her hard work and faithfulness, even though she wasn't expecting it at all, I'm quite sure. So after taking a break from an afternoon meal, Ruth rose up again to glean in verse 15. What else would you expect from this young dynamo? What else would she do? She was like the Energizer Bunny with fresh batteries. And once again, Boaz commanded his young men, saying, let her glean even among the sheaves, and do not reproach her. Don't hassle her, don't touch her, don't do anything. Kind of like E.F. Hutton, when Boaz talks, reapers listen. He was a man of authority, yet well respected. Boaz basically told his crew to allow Ruth to take even from the already gathered sheaves of grain. Then he made sure that his young men understood not to taunt her or hassle her in any way. But just to be certain that he had made himself perfectly clear, Boaz adds one more detail in verse 16. He said, also let grain fall from the bundles, or let grain from the bundles fall purposely for her. Leave it that she may glean, and do not rebuke her. Boaz made it as easy as possible for Ruth, short of delivering the grain to her in person. He probably would have been willing to do that, but he wouldn't want to dishonor her dignity. She was hardworking and she wanted to work for what she received. Ruth was no charity case, and it would have been challenging for anyone to surpass her superb work ethic. And I'm quite sure that Boaz admired that in her. He was very impressed with this young lady from Moab, and it truly pleased him to help her in her time of need. He was also Ruth's protector from all harm. He really, truly showed her great favor. So that's the second part. Boaz favors Ruth. And now the third and final part. Ruth blesses Naomi, beginning with verses 17 through 19. So she gleaned in the field until evening and beat out what she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. Then she took it up and went into the city, and her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned. So she brought out and gave to her what she had kept back after she had been satisfied. And her mother-in-law said to her, excuse me, where have you gleaned today? And where did you work? Blessed be the one who took notice of you. So she told her mother-in-law with whom she had worked and said, the man's name with whom I work today is Boaz. Wow. Ruth had worked very hard all day long, gleaning in the field from sun up to sundown. When she finished beating out what she had gleaned, she had accumulated about one ephah of fine barley in verse 17. That's about a 5.5-gallon tub of grain, around 22 liters of barley. Pretty good day's work for Ruth. As she made the most of every opportunity, God truly blessed her, and Boaz showed her great favor. As industrious as Ruth was, we ought to be just as diligent with our devotion to God's word. What opportunities do we have to study the word of God and glean all its goodness and all its nourishment that's so vital for our lives? Do we take the time to read the Bible on our own in between Sundays so that we may continually learn? We should, because it's God's will for us to continually grow in the grace and knowledge of him. It's our calling. And we get that by being immersed in his word, being avid students of his Bible. In verse 18, Ruth gathered up all her barley and went into Bethlehem to share it with Naomi, really to give it. She did this for Naomi. Ruth showed her all that she had gleaned, and she gave Naomi the leftovers that she kept in her little doggy bag from lunch. It seems that whatever Ruth did, no matter how big or small, somehow there was a blessing attached to it for her mother-in-law, Naomi. Now, if you've ever had a friend like that, you know how special it is to receive such loving kindness. It's a treasure. Perhaps you've been a friend like that to someone, but you don't really know how much you've blessed them. That would be like Ruth, just kind of humble about it, but you're a blessing to those around you. God gives us opportunities to be blessings to those around us and to do good, especially to those of the household of faith. But you know what? Truly, people don't need to be best friends forever to be a blessing to someone. All you need is love. All you need is love. I'm not going to sing the Beatles song. Trying not to, okay. Romans 12:10 says, "Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor giving preference to one another." In this, Ruth truly blessed Naomi with her love. Amazing picture of love flowing through these women. So seeing the abundance of barley that Ruth collected, Naomi asked her where she had gleaned in verse 19. Ruth had done well for herself, and it was obvious that someone had blessed her with great favor. Then Ruth said to her mother-in-law, "The man's name with whom I work today is Boaz." It's Boaz. Even though this news might not have surprised Naomi, she knew about Boaz. It must have filled her heart with tremendous joy when she heard who Ruth was gleaning from. Because as much as Ruth blessed Naomi, there's no doubt that Naomi wanted the very best for Ruth as well. What a perfect model of a giving and receiving relationship that's driven by mutual love for one another. David had his Jonathan. Naomi had her Ruth. A husband has his wife, and a wife, her husband. But for all of us in this room who put our faith and trust in Christ, the greatest love of all is having Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. There's nothing better than that. And all these other things are driven by that relationship that we have with him. Now, as Ruth and Naomi continued their chit-chat in verse 20, Naomi said to her daughter-in-law, "Blessed be he of the Lord who has not forsaken his kindness to the living and the dead." By now, Naomi's countenance must have brightened just a little bit, because her words were certainly more cheerful than before. Could it be that bitter Mara, as she had changed her name, "Call me Mara, for I'm bitter, the Lord's hand has been against me." Could it be that bitter Mara was turning back into pleasant Naomi? Naomi, that's what that means. It means pleasant. It seems as though that she was going through the arduous process of healing from grief. Takes time, and it's a little different for everyone. But as the cloudiness gives way to more brighter days, we can see the plans of God beginning to unfold. The Lord worked it out for Ruth and Naomi to cling together and then to bring Boaz into the picture. Naomi said to Ruth, "This man is a relation of ours, one of our close relatives." Naomi was acknowledging the Lord's providence after going through such a hard time coming back from Moab. Then in verse 21, Ruth replies to Naomi. He also said to me, "You shall stay close by my young men until they have finished all my harvest." So as she considers the words of Naomi, Ruth recalled the words spoken to her by Boaz and the great favor that he gave towards her. I don't think Ruth gave it all that much thought before, but now she too is beginning to recognize the providence of God. Could it be at this point that she truly begins to understand the awesome love of Naomi's God? I'm thinking, could be. For us as believers, there was some pivotal point when we began surrendering our heart to the Lord. Something happened. We might not have a date in our calendar, but something happened, a pivotal point where we begin to truly turn our heart to God and surrender. Maybe it was God working something out miraculous in our life, delivering us from something that was destroying us. Or maybe it was seeing something in the life of someone we love and giving glory to God and being amazed at what he can do. Whatever it was, we can thank God for his great goodness, which led to our repentance. It's the goodness of God that has led us to repentance. He didn't beat us into it. His goodness brought us to him. Praise the Lord for that. In verse 22, Naomi said to Ruth, her daughter-in-law, "It is good, my daughter, that you go out with his young women and that people do not meet you in any other field. Our God loves to bless people. He loves to bless his people, and we really don't know how much he does for us every day. We have an idea, but there's things that he's doing that we don't even know. There's things that he's protecting us from that we have no idea. We're complaining about an ingrown toenail. But he's done things for us that we should be glorifying him at all times. When Naomi changed her name to Mara, the only thing she could sense in her life at the time was bitterness. It's hard to notice God's goodness working behind the scenes when everything in our world seems to be falling apart. And God understands our feeble frame. And he doesn't hold that against us, but he gives us time. And he shows us goodness in various ways. And it's up to us to keep our head up and see these things and begin to acknowledge them. Naomi had suffered tremendous loss, yet God was already blessing her with plans to restore his wayward child. He blessed Naomi with an incredibly faithful daughter-in-law, whose gentle and quiet spirit provided a calming influence. He blessed them both with Boaz to provide for their needs. They didn't see all this coming. God was working it out. God brought them together so that they could be a blessing to one another. But finally, in verse 23, it says that Ruth stayed close by the young women of Boaz to glean until the end of barley harvest and wheat harvest, and she dwelt with her mother-in-law. So just as the Lord had planned, so it was accomplished according to his good and perfect will. God has these plans, and when he begins to work them out, you can start seeing the hand of God in your life. We just need to know that he's working behind the scenes at all times. Sometimes he seems so distant. Sometimes we don't believe we even hear his voice, but he's there. Naomi and Ruth came to Bethlehem at the beginning of barley harvest, and Ruth gleaned until the end. But really, that was only a new beginning, as the Lord is continually preparing something new for each and every one of us. Whether the harvest is in or the trial is over, whichever way you're going with that, we need to keep progressing forward by faith. Life is hard sometimes, but having it wonderfully blissful and soaring in the clouds all the time, that's not good for us either. We need a balance of both, and it's all moving forward by faith. God's working behind the scenes in all our circumstances, so we must not remain bogged down or dejected. And it's hard, but we need to encourage ourselves in the Lord. And being amongst other brothers and sisters is part of God's plan to help do that. Just as Ruth dwelt with Naomi and continued to be a blessing, God's presence will remain with us, for he's faithful. He's forever faithful. So Ruth blesses Naomi. That's the third and final part. Yes, Ruth was an extremely loyal and loving woman, and she worked very, very hard, and she made the most of every opportunity, a wonderful example for all of us to use the gifts that God has given us to glorify him and to be a blessing to others. I'm going to close with some commentary on today's text written by Charles Spurgeon. Many of you have heard of him. He's the great 19th century English preacher. Wrote a lot of things. But he said concerning this text, "Let me learn from Ruth the gleaner. As she went out to gather the bundles of grain, so must I go forth into the fields of prayer, meditation, the ordinances, and hearing the word to gather spiritual food. The gleaner gathers her portion bit by bit. Her gains are little by little. So must I be content to search for single truths. Every stalk helps to make a bundle, and every gospel lesson assists in making us wise unto salvation. The gleaner keeps her eyes open, and I must be watchful in religious exercises, lest they become unprofitable to me. Oh, that I might rightly estimate my opportunities and glean with greater diligence." This is a great man of God estimating his own need for the same things that Ruth was doing. If Charles Spurgeon can learn from Ruth, we all also ought to learn from her as well. In short time, the word got around about Ruth's loyalty and her love towards Naomi. May we be remembered for the same things that she was. Because whatever things we might be known for, it's just quite possible that wherever we go, our reputation precedes us. As I mentioned in the very beginning, reputations are very important, and we should strive to protect our good name, all for the glory of God. Believers with bad reputations can cause other believers to stumble or drive non-believers further away from the Lord. It's a great responsibility. It doesn't take a lot to ruin a good reputation, and Satan would love to trip us up. One bad job reference or an enemy from the past can cause a lot of future trouble. So we need to take care of business now so these things don't creep up in our lives. But you know, if we live a righteous life like Ruth, God will guard our reputation. He will help us, all for his name's sake. Now, does that mean that nothing's ever going to happen to us? Not at all. Many people will slander our good name, but it's up to us to be blameless and faultless in this perverse and crooked generation. We need to watch out for our character and our conduct as we represent Christ. When we do that, we can count on for sure that God is going to bless us the way that he blessed Ruth, and he will bring us through all difficult things, and he'll keep us intact. That's how God is, and he does that for us. You know, the Lord loves us all so very much. He loves us all so very much. And he loves it when we serve one another in his love. It glorifies him, and it blesses us, and it blesses those that we serve. Amen? May the Lord bless you this week. May he protect you. May he just be with you and provide all that you need for your practical needs, for your spiritual strength, for your encouragement in this crazy world that is so discouraging, God. But in spite of all that, you lift us up. You're the lover of our soul and the lifter of our head. And God, when we just cling to you and abide in you and your love and your word, truly, God, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And without you, God, we can do nothing. So thank you for your word today, God. Just go before your people, Lord. Watch over us. And we praise you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.